Hi, this is Kendall Boyson, professional life and recovery coach, and you're listening to Encouragementology, the practice of instilling hope. Good evening and welcome to Encouragementology. I'm so excited to be with you tonight and talking about the power of sharing. Communication through interaction is less about the words spoken than it is about the interaction dynamics that take place at a nonverbal level. It is at that level that trust is established, or not. When we create conversational rituals that enable us to honor and respect others' view of the world, especially when these views are very different from our own, we create a space for better conversation and for new ideas to emerge. This is from Judith E. Glasser, author of Conversational Intelligence, The Key to Success in Life and Business. It's not about how smart you are, but how open you are to learn new and effective, powerful conversational rituals that prime the brain for trust, partnership, and mutual success. We are talking about sharing. Sharing of your time, your experiences, and your encouragement. We are all on a journey with different itineraries, taking different routes at different times, but all heading to the same destination. We can learn from each other. We can comfort one another. We can grow in our own personal development by sharing. It's just that easy. Share, learn, grow. So tonight we are talking about an idea or a movement, if I had my way, that I'm very, very passionate about. Sharing in groups. Groups of people getting together to share ideas, learn from each other, and grow as individuals. The power of groups is going to save our society. I am convinced. As we get further and further apart emotionally and personally and spiritually, we are going to talk about why it's important, how it can benefit you, and how you can get involved. Now, before we go any further, let me just say there are all types of groups, and we aren't addressing any one particular group. The ideas we're looking at is about bringing people together to connect and share. So if you're attending a group, fantastic, more power to you. Maybe these ideas will help you open up more and understand why it's important. If you are scoffing, thinking, well, there's nothing wrong with me, why do I need a group? Don't turn the dial, because we are just about to get there. Groups connect people, plain and simple. That's it as it, its rawest form. Groups connect people. I speak a lot on this topic. I'm very, very passionate about it. And I'm not bashing technology, but I am going to say for a minute that it is creating social isolation. It seems to connect us. Boy, you can get on any social media platform and you can see what everybody's doing, right? You get a picture into everybody's life, which seems authentic, but is it really? And how many of those same people that you just witnessed something tragic happening to them on social media and you see them out in public and you walk the other way? It is not fostering deeper bonds. It's creeping, prying, judging. It's not creating closer relationships. You know, social interactions have to be human contact. It's just taking it back to the basics. Instead of creating this kind of false communication online, you know, at one point we talked. Seems like a foreign concept now, but we really talked to one another, you know, and before phones, we actually got in the car or the buggy, horse and buggy, if it was back then, walked. We actually went to someone's house and we spent time with them and we visited with them, right? Then the phone came out and then we were able to call people. Boy, wasn't that a luxury. We didn't have to pack the kids up. We didn't have to take a drive. We could actually just pick up a phone and check in on someone. So that was pretty cool. Then texting came about, the smartphone. How smart is it, really? Because then we started texting people, not even picking up the phone and calling, just texting. And we started to accept this as normal communication. And then we realized that we weren't able to really convey our sentiment or emotions through 140 characters on a text message. So in comes the emoticon, right? The little yellow faces that are making all the different emotions. And we started relying on these and over punctuation, like multiple smiley faces and exclamation marks to try to create some sort of emotion, right? How many times do you look at your text message and you're like, ah, that doesn't really convey my sense of urgency or my emotion. I'm going to go back in and add some things to it, right? Or you're scanning through those emoticons, just trying to find the one that shows the exact point of frustration that you have at this moment, right? So we started relying on that as really a source of communication and sharing emotions. But 50% of communication is nonverbal. So how are we getting that through this type of delivery? We're not, right? Now, I kind of go on and on about this, but now we're using the sad face as an acceptable form of sympathy. And we laugh, but we are accepting it. And if we accept it and we move the bar so low, where does it go from here? We're just not going to reach out to each other anymore? You know, what about the conveniences of life? You know, we have so many ways that really try to help us make things faster and easier to get to. But what it does is take away some of those natural points of contact that we had grown accustomed and possibly taken for granted. Let's talk about grocery shopping. I say this a lot, but we used to meet up in the grocery store. I mean, imagine if you did not have social media telling you everything about everyone. How would you get that information? Well, you'd run into them, or you'd run into someone else who knew about them, right? That's where the gossip chain started. But you would see those people in the grocery store, you would stop, you'd have a conversation. It took forever to get out of there. But when you came out, you were fully informed of what's going on, right? Now we can order our groceries online, simply pull into a spot, and they can be delivered to our car. We don't have that same interaction. We're not getting that human connection. And that's important. We're looking for new ways to save time. And as a way, we're shaving off any opportunity to connect as a society. We have to say no. We have to push back and really be more intentional with our connections. The fact is, we need each other to emotionally thrive. But the days of someone knocking on your door and bringing you the welcome wagon basket of goodies are over. So you have to be the one that steps outside and works to make it happen. Do you want more authentic and meaningful connections? Then you have to put yourself in the right place and the right environment to make that happen. It's going to take effort. It doesn't just land in your lap. Groups are safe, and a welcoming environment which are filled with understanding, reassurance, positive reinforcement, hope, and compassion. Members tend to develop special bonds through sharing their honest feelings, humor, accomplishments, and losses, causing them to develop emotional connections with one another. Support groups are not the same as group therapy. They are generally less structured and are primarily focused on providing a safe and confidential environment where people are free to share experiences and strategic coping mechanisms, all while forming invaluable connections with others who have similar concerns or demographics. Now, many people feel like groups are for people that have something wrong, right? You must be struggling for something. It's either overeaters or Alcoholics Anonymous or codependency or grief. But groups can be a great source of just connecting, getting together, learning more about someone. It's very difficult to share in just a casual environment. If you are at the store or you're out in public and you see someone, what do you mostly talk about? How are the kids? What about those Cubs? What about the weather, right? you don't necessarily go to the next step and start talking about your goals, your desires, your fears. But in a group environment, you can actually be led through those types of discussions where they become natural discussions and not something, oh my gosh, you're just dredging up, in the fruit department. Groups have proven to be extremely beneficial. They're not only motivating and inspiring, but they can afford you the opportunity to make valuable connections. Meeting regularly with others who understand and encourage can increase a person's opportunity to meet their goals. Groups are for anyone looking for a meaningful connection. There's no need to attempt life alone. Find a group to help with coping strategies and make viable connections while sharing and learning valuable experiences along life's journeys. I have been leading groups for the last 2 years, and I have endless stories of strong connections, compassion, encouragement, and healing. It started with women's groups, and I started, like I said, 2 years ago with Women Connect. And Women Connect is a women's empowerment group, a chance to get together, women helping women share, learn, and grow. And we have actually two chapters, one of which is an open group, and that's for any woman who wants to connect. And then we also do another one in Gateway Drug Rehab and for their inpatient women. And I'll tell you, so powerful. I started the group really as a way to get women together to talk about different types of skills and things that they would like to cover and maybe do workshops in my other outreach, which is called Beyond Wow, which is where we do job seeking workshops. At any rate, I got the women together, did sort of an icebreaker to get everybody talking. And what I found was they wanted to connect with each other. That was the power, you know, putting them together, sort of being the connector and then letting them encourage each other. Was really, really powerful. You know, when you're having a bad day, you kind of push yourself to go to group and, what am I going to contribute today? I'm sort of in a down mood. I don't even really have anything to say. What you feel is you feel that love and support and encouragement from everyone else. You also get out of your own problem because as people share, you hear about what someone else might be dealing with. And it could be something tragic. It could be a success that they really wanted to share and they didn't have a group of people that they could really brag and share to. But what you see is, let's say you do encounter somebody that needs additional encouragement, you stop thinking about your own problems and you start thinking about that other person because we all are empathetic to some degree. And we need a chance to be able to share that. And so you can start reframing someone else's negativity into positivity, and it gets you thinking of things in a different way. If you're by yourself and you're in your own space and you're having a bad day, who's going to help you see that a different way? Very difficult to talk yourself out of that. If you're kind of beating yourself up, you have a lot of negative self-talk, it's very difficult to turn that around and see the silver lining. But if you put yourself in a group of people who are listening to you and encouraging you, they naturally will help you see that, and in turn, you'll help someone else see that. So I have found the power of groups, and it builds just a deep, deep bonding and sharing, because in those groups, you do share your goals, your dreams, your aspirations, your desires. And when you do that with another person, you're actually inviting them into your space, and you're trusting them. And to trust means you go deeper. It's a deeper level of friendship. Now, some of the women are friends outside of the group, but we all know that we're there for each other and during the important times. And that's what's really, really powerful. Recently, I started Senior Connect. My father went into a nursing home about 3 years ago. He suffers from Parkinson's and dementia. And I have been immersed in that culture and just saw a different side of aging and loneliness and senior isolation. And I wanted to do something about that. And I really felt the power of groups could make an impact there. So I started Senior Connect, and that's really to bring seniors together to share, learn, and grow. You're going to hear that a lot. And Senior Connect has two groups as well. They have one in Carbondale, Illinois, and one in Marion. And the reason for Senior Connect is the same, bringing people together. We all have been at different points in our life through different trials and tribulations. We've had highs, we've had lows. Everybody has had it at a different rate. We are on a different trajectory. I think that you can learn from each other. So I think it's important to bring people of all walks of life together. These are co-ed meetings. We really get a chance to learn a lot about someone's background. What I also find in the senior population is a lot of people have at one point or another had maybe a powerful job or a very respected job, and they had a chance to really make a difference and mentor and train and impact other people. And when they move into retirement, they don't necessarily have that same chance. And by losing that voice, they really go into more of an isolation. Now they feel not as confident about what they're saying or that they have anything of value to share. And this is another way to help get that out, get these stories out. We also take some walks down memory lane. We have a journaling activity that we do at the end of each group, and that's something they could do on their own. And it's so important to remember and bring to the surface those memories of happy times and things that you want to reflect on, maybe a legacy or even for your own self. I've shared this before, but my dad's first roommate, who's now 100, told me that he wished he would have written more things down so that he had more that he could recall at this stage of his life. Wow, I had never thought about it that way. So many things that I've done and could share, and they're all tucked away in my memories, and I'm hoping that I can recall those at any point in my life, but you never know. There's no guarantee on that. So it really made a difference for me, and I started thinking about journaling a little bit differently. And for anyone that is, and if you're intimidated by journaling, having more of a structure to journaling and recalling might be a better way to go about it. You know, so many people are afraid to share those stories, those happy stories. Ah, my family, my friends, they've all heard it before. But a group is new. So you're able to take a walk down memory lane in a whole new way as you share with people that don't know you. I think that's amazing. In an article by Donna Pescano Brown, we learn more about the power of human connections. We all know that comforting feeling when we are being physically embraced, right? A good hug. Or feeling heard, emotionally understood, and supported by another human being. That warm feeling of human connection is so important in maintaining our overall emotional and physical health. In fact, dozens of studies have shown that people who have satisfying relationships are happier, have fewer health problems, and live longer. A relative lack of social ties is associated with depression and later life cognitive decline, as well as with increased mortality, and why understanding human connections is so important. Human connection is an energy exchange between people who are paying attention to one another. That simple. It has the power to deepen the moment, inspire change, and build trust. What is social connection? When researchers refer to the concept of social connection, they mean the feeling that you belong to a group and generally feel close to other people. Scientific evidence strongly suggests that this is the core psychological need essential to feeling satisfied with your life. Brené Brown, a professor at the University of Houston. I know you've heard all about Brené Brown. If you haven't, you need to look her up. She's an expert on vulnerability. She said in an interview, a deep sense of love and belonging is an irresistible need for all people. We are biologically, cognitively, physically, and spiritually wired to love, to be loved, and to belong. When those needs are not met, we don't function as we're meant to. We may think we want more power, more fame, more money, more beauty, internal youth, or a new car, but at the root of most of these desires is the need to belong, to be accepted, to connect with others, and be loved. What are the benefits of social connections? resilience, the ability to bounce back after stressful situations, is strengthened when you give and receive support. Building positive relationships with people can make a difference in how resilient you are. Try to connect with people who have a positive outlook and can make you laugh and help you. The more positive your relationships are, the better you will be able to face life's challenges. Loneliness and social isolation take a steep toll on the human body. These, in turn, can undermine the well-being of nearly every bodily system, including the brain. Studies show that people who are chronically lonely have significant more heart disease and more vulnerable to metastatic cancer, have an increased risk of stroke, and are more likely to develop a neurodegenerative disease such as Alzheimer's. Lonely adults are 25% more likely to die prematurely. Elderly people who are lonely die at twice the rate as those who are socially connected, all of which makes the spike in loneliness in American society even more alarming. Researchers estimate that some 60 million Americans, one-fifth of the population, suffer from the pains of loneliness. And with millions of baby boomers now facing a radically shrinking social world, the rising tide of loneliness has all the hallmarks of a widespread and costly epidemic. According to Matthew Lieberman, a professor at UCLA, the importance of social connection is so strong. When we are rejected or experience other social pain, our brain hurts in the same way they do when we feel physical pain. Social and physical pain are more similar than we imagine, Lieberman says. We don't expect someone with a broken leg to just get over it. Yet when it comes to the pain of social loss, this is the common and mistaken response. The bottom line, we need to take social pain just as seriously as we do physical pain. Empathy is an ability or an emotional response that allows us to understand others and share in their experiences. When we experience an emotion or engage in a behavior, certain brain cell networks become activated. When we watch another person who is experiencing an emotion or engaging in a behavior, or when we imagine these experiences, the same neural networks also become activated. In such cases, our brain behaves almost as if we ourselves are having the experience. This phenomenon is due to specialized brain cells called mirror neurons. Mirror neurons ultimately allow humans to experience empathy by allowing us to share in the experiences of others directly. It's not that we're simply observing these actions and emotions in others. We are actually experiencing them in ourselves. Well-known behavioral neurologist Dr. Ramakrishnan reminds us that mirror neurons mean that our species made an incredible genetic leap. It's true that other animals have empathetic abilities. However, in humans, these specialized cells imply an incredible advance. Our awareness grew, our thoughts became more abstract, and the way we related to each other became more sophisticated. Cruel and violent at times, yes, but also more human. Oriented towards promoting well-being, order, and balance. The empathetic brain is the essence of our social relationships and our learning. It allows us to move in an appropriate direction little by little. Now, just because we can feel the pain and suffering of our fellow human beings doesn't always mean we take the steps to do anything about it. A valuable extension of empathy is action, giving. Since you get more joy out of giving joy to others, you should put a good deal of thought into the happiness that you are able to give. That was by wise Eleanor Roosevelt. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give. Winston Churchill. You can give your time, your knowledge, talents, encouragement, acknowledgement, thoughts, compliments, kindness, smiles, love, and money. Take a moment and think about the people you come into contact with every day. Are you in a rush or routine and not really noticing the areas of need around you? You have the power to make a difference and to give of yourself. But first, it takes awareness, getting outside of your own head, your own needs, and looking around. Then being willing to make the first move. There are plenty of people struggling or having a bad day, and they never vocalize their needs. It's up to us to tap into our empathetic brains and reach out. I found 10 awesome reasons to give and volunteer as a key to happiness by Kimberly Yam. Number one, helping others will actually make you feel great. Giving back has an effect on your body. Studies show that when people donated to charity, the mesolimbic system, the portion of the brain responsible for feelings of reward, was triggered. The brain also releases feel-good chemicals and spurs you to perform more acts of kindness. Something psychologists call helper's high. Number two, give your self-esteem a boost. People who volunteer have been found to have higher self-esteem and overall well-being. Experts explain that as feelings of social connectedness increase, so does your self-esteem. The benefits of volunteering also depend on your consistency. So the more regularly you volunteer, the more confidence you'll be able to cultivate. Number three, you'll have stronger friendships. Being a force for good in a friend's life can help. It can help build a lasting bond. When you help others, you give off positive vibes, which can rub off on your peers and improve your friendships, according to a study by the National Institute of Health. Both parties will contribute to maintaining a mutually beneficial dynamic. Number four, you become a glass half full type person. Having a positive impact on someone else could help you change your own outlook and attitude. Experts say that performing acts of kindness boosts your mood and ultimately makes you more optimistic and positive. Number five, helping others will make you feel like you can take on the world. Helping someone out can leave you feeling rewarded and fulfilled. People who participate in volunteer work feel more empowered than those who do not. According to a study by the United Health Group, 96% of people who volunteer over the last 12 months said volunteering enriches their sense of purpose. Number six, you'll feel a sense of belonging. Whether with a large group of people in a volunteer organization or just between two friends exchanging a word of advice, helping people create can give you a feeling of community. Face-to-face activities such as volunteering at a drop-in center can help reduce loneliness and isolation, according to the Mental Health Foundation. Number seven, giving will help you find your inner peace. If you have a lot that's wearing you down, giving back could help clear your head. In a study by the United Health Group, 78% of people who volunteered over a 12-month period said they felt their charitable activities lowered their stress. They were also more calm and peaceful than people who didn't participate in volunteering. Number eight, it will make you feel thankful. Helping others gives you perspective on your own situation and teaches you to be appreciative of what you have. The Global One Foundation describes volunteering as a way to promote a deeper sense of gratitude as we recognize more of what is already a blessing, gift, or positive in our life. Number nine, it gives you a sense of renewal. Helping others can teach you to help yourself. If you've been through a tough experience or just have a case of the blues, the activism cure is a great way to get a feeling back of yourself. According to research from the University of Texas, volunteer work improves access to social and psychological resources, which are known to counter negative moods. And number 10, helping others will spur others to pay it forward and keep the cycle of happiness going. Kindness is contagious, according to the study by researchers at University of California, Los Angeles, and University of Cambridge, and the University of Plymouth in the United Kingdom. When we see someone else help another person, it gives us a good feeling, the study states, which in turn causes us to go out and do something altruistic ourselves. Helping others can actually help you. It is truly better to give than it is to receive. Thank you so much for sticking with me tonight and talking about sharing. We kind of went into a lot of different directions on sharing, but the point is making a connection and being able to share your thoughts, your goals, your dreams, your desires, your fears, your challenges with another human being and really rely on each other for strength and support. It is a beautiful gift that we have that we really need to take advantage of. You know, sometimes keeping our stories to ourselves can limit the way in which we understand them. If our thoughts and experience remain in our own head, we fail to give them the realness that they receive when we share them with others. While this realness can sometimes be daunting, it can break down the barrier of isolation that our experiences may present. For many of us, we may feel that no one truly understands what we're experiencing. Sharing our stories with others challenges that sense of isolation by bringing communities together to stand strong against adversity. Talking to a group of people about your experiences can also provide you with the support that you may not have otherwise. Working with others who have faced similar experiences can help you reflect on how you can respond in the face of hard times. Let's kind of talk about, recap what we did tonight and just go over everything. So make sure you have some good takeaways. I hope you're feeling the need to get out and be intentional about your connections. As I mentioned in the beginning, it doesn't just happen, right? The welcome wagon is not there to knock on your door and deliver a freshly cooked pie and want to sit with you for hours. Today, more than ever, it seems more difficult to meet people. We have smart devices at our disposal. We literally can't put them down. They connect us to everywhere we would ever want to go and anything we'd ever want to do. But for whatever reason, we can't seem to connect and really find those authentic relationships. So instead of continuing to look there, look into the most organic way. Go out and talk to someone. Stop someone. Maybe there's someone new at work that you really haven't had a chance to get to know. Maybe there's someone that says, you know, we should get together for coffee. Make that time and actually go and do that. It gives you a chance to listen to someone else and their experiences, and it gives you a chance to share yours with someone new. Maybe get a different perspective. You know, when you put yourself out there and you share your experiences, you can find out that that can really impact someone else's life. You know, I had someone say to me many, many years later after the fact that something that I said to them really made an impact on their day. How would I have ever known that if that person didn't bring that up? A lot of times we say things and those words just land. We don't even know where they land. We don't know how they affect anyone. And then we walk on, we're in our routine, we're in our rush of life, and we just go on about ourselves. We don't even know how that might have helped another person. Something that you have to offer could absolutely make the difference in someone else's life. You know, we talked about groups and sort of the stigma on groups that a lot of people think if you say the word support group that obviously there's something wrong with you and that's why you go to a support group. But we never really think about groups, and I'd like to change that stigma as just a way to connect with other people. You know, if you don't have an outlet other than work to connect with someone, how are you supposed to do that? So finding a group that might meet your needs, whether it's a co-ed group or a senior group or a women-only group or a male-only group, a teenage group, might put you in the hands of people that would be able to experience the same experiences that you have thus far. So that's kind of important. There's also different groups that you can put yourself into that really are more about an activity. And sometimes it may start that way where you'll enter a group for an activity, but really it's the connection that people crave. So look around for those groups. We talked about how beneficial they could be. We talked about the two groups that I actually lead, which are Women Connect and also Senior Connect. So I urge you, if you are in the Southern Illinois area, you can definitely reach out to me about those groups. You can also follow Encouragementology on Facebook, and also Senior Connect is on Facebook, and Women Connect are on there as well. Or you can go to encouragementology.com and you can get more information there. We talked about the benefits of social connections, that just that deep sense of belonging. You know, being around people that are glad to be with you, that is a true joyful activity. You know, that's what they say about joy. Joy is being around people that are glad to be with you. You know, you have those great friends or those family members or those loved ones. You know that feeling you get when you're about to see them or you're spending some time. Oh, we laughed all day. We laughed till we cried. We had such a good time. And you get filled up with that joy. Your just whole demeanor, your whole outlook has changed because of that experience. Why don't you try to find that more often, more consistently, right? We talked about the health reasons. You know, there's a lot of negativity in the world, a lot of stress, and a lot of that can cause health effects, negative health effects. And just by being around positive people, it can help bring you out of those states. It can help challenge your brain. We do an activity, Finding the Happy Place. And Happy Place is a real place, believe it or not. It's a real place that exists in your memories, but you can easily conjure those up with just a little work. A lot of times when you're having a negative day or sort of a down day, it's difficult to recall those happy memories. So we do an exercise where you prepare those ahead of time. So you can do a journaling activity where you think about a happy memory. And you know, we start with three. You can start with one if you choose to, but think of a memory. Recall a really fun time in your life, something that gave you a lot of joy, maybe some purpose, maybe some genuine respect and good vibes, good feelings. Once you have that, you want to make sure that you detail all aspects of the day, the encounter. Were you with someone? Were you by yourself? What type of day was it? When was it? How old were you? What were you doing? The more details you can put to that activity, the easier it becomes able to conjure up in your mind, right? And you want to be able to revisit that easily, especially when you're having a bad day. Because as I said, in a bad day, it's a little bit more challenging to do that. So if it's something that you can easily recall, then you can utilize it for the good, and it can help bring you out of those bad feelings. So finding your happy place is a real thing. We talked about isolation. I mentioned some alarming statistics with elderly and just the amount of isolated seniors. You know, one out of four seniors live alone. And you may enjoy your solitude. You may think you enjoy your solitude, your downtime, your alone time. And everybody does need alone time. But there is a limit to everything, everything in moderation. Remember, researchers estimate that some 60 million Americans, one-fifth of the population, suffer from the pains of loneliness. And it's real pain. It's really hurt. We talked about it being sort of related to physical pain. Emotional pain is damaging. And we need to start tapping into our empathetic brains, our empathetic system, and start putting ourselves in their place and reaching out. So many times we look at somebody and we think, oh man, they could probably really benefit from this or that. And yet we walk by and we don't do it. We don't take the time. We're in our busy life. We're rushing around, not realizing that we can actually benefit from the act of giving ourselves. So if we would just stop what we're doing, take a little extra time, we're really doing it for ourselves as much as doing it for another human being. So I want you to think about it a little differently. I have the practice or the practical application for Encouragementology called Here's Your Cue. And it's just to remind people, Cue stands for connect, understand, and encourage another person. And if you can have an intentional, practical application, you might do it more frequently, or at least you will be mindful of when you do it or find an opportunity to do that, right? Reminder, Eleanor Roosevelt said, since you get more joy out of giving joy to others, you should put a good deal of thought into the happiness that you're able to give. And boy, you have so much power to be able to do that. It starts with a smile. It could be as simple as a smile to another human being. Sharing your good, positive energy with someone else, that's a powerful thing. And you can tap into that. It doesn't cost anything. takes 2 seconds, and it can actually lift your spirits as well. There is a theory that a smile leads to a good emotional experience, where we might think it's the other way around. We have the emotional experience and then we smile as a result. Well, this theory is actually that the physical smile happens first. So if that's true, then you could give yourself that feeling by just smiling. And when you smile at another person, they're not realizing that you're faking it, so they're going to smile back at you. And as a result, when someone smiles genuinely at you, you can't help but smile. So you can create that experience yourself. Stop looking down. Stop looking at your phone. Get out of your own head and reach out to someone else. Have them help you through your day by helping them first. It can be that easy. So I challenge you, reach out and connect. Even if you think you love your silence, you love your solitude, reach out. Share. Share your experiences and your encouragement with another person. Forge strong bonds. Nurture those relationships and lean into them to find joy. I know you can do it. Thank you for listening to Encouragementology with Kendall Boyson, where we find positive ways to handle some of life's challenges. I stumbled through until the path was clear.